All right, so we have gone through a couple of things. We've talked about continuing dialogue with God, and we've talked about having a Christ-like character, those being indispensable, absolutely necessary, inescapable realities if we are going to grow up in Jesus. All these things that I'm talking about, you know, especially today. What I'm going to talk about today, you know. I'm preaching to the choir. So what good does today do? We have to talk about it because it's indispensable. We have to talk about it because even though today that's not where we are, there may be a day in a year, 2 years, 3 years, where some things have happened and we have allowed stuff to wear us out. And we're going to forget what we're going to talk about today, which is that one of the things that's indispensable to being a grown-up believer in Jesus is that we have a commitment to community. Because if I didn't have to talk about it, there wouldn't be a lot of people that you know and I know who will swear up and down that they believe in Jesus and will swear up and down they'll never go back to church. And the two things are not reconcilable. Now, whenever I say church, you know I am not talking about that building that sits on the street. I am talking about being with the people of God and finding community in Christ. Okay? We do not have the option to pick and choose what it means to be grown up in Jesus. What we do have is a Bible that tells us in 50 different ways that community is not optional. So that's what I want to talk about today. So what good is what I'm going to share with you today? One, we can store it away for future. Two, we can let it encourage us. And three, this thing is going to live on the internet. If you know somebody who is wrestling with this or struggling with this, you can say, you know, one of those knuckleheads at my church was teaching about this thing, and here's something I want you to consider. Why don't you go listen to it and let's have a talk? I'm just talking about the people that you know who have not experienced what it means to really be in the body functioning, because there are a lot of people who have not. They well-intentioned were told this is what it means to be a part of the body. And then what they got is not what it really is like. Does that make sense to you? There was no body life. There was busyness. There was activity. There was religion. But there was no body. Does that make sense? And there are a lot of people in our culture who have bought into that, and that's where they stayed. And then when they got discouraged because somebody argued about the color of the carpet or somebody said something to them, they couldn't get through it and they didn't have all these things that we're talking about to help them grow up. And so what happens when they didn't grow up was they acted like a 3-year-old. I'll take my toys and go home. I don't have to be around those people. They're hypocrites. We take those views. Yes, there's a good possibility that those people that hurt them or that mistreated them or did, yes, they were misbehaving, but it's because they didn't grow up either. It's because we got a bunch of people not growing up. That's why we've got to talk about these things. Because we have to grow up. That's what we were saved to do. That's what we were transformed to do. It wasn't just to show up and park our holy assurance in the pew. So, commitment to community. Let's go back to our theme verse. Ephesians 4. Let's focus just on the colored portion. Instead, Paul says to the Ephesians, we will hold to the truth in love. Now, he wouldn't say you had to hold on to it unless it was hard to do. Hold on to the truth in love. Becoming more and more in every way like Christ. You see, we can't get away from that. That's who we're supposed to be. Who is the head of His body, the church. We're talking about us together. Under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Do you know anybody that wouldn't want to be a part of that? I know a lot of people who would say that they don't believe in God who would be a part of that just to be around people who were healthy and growing and full of love. And the reality is that is what's happening. So we're going to talk about community and how God uses community and how we're called to be a part of community. And it is just as essential as having a Christ-like character and just as essential to growing up as having a relationship with God. The continuous dialogue with Him. All right, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, one of our favorite passages when we talk about gathering together. Again, this is nothing new. The writer to Hebrews said to these believers, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. Oh, I love the way it says that. Outbursts of. So it's not just we're all going to have a kumbaya. It's a matter of times when there are outbursts of love and good deeds. That's what's so cool about the random acts of kindness stuff that people do in Jesus' name. It's an outburst of good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming is drawing near. So, the closer it gets, does not mean that we ought not be around each other. The closer it gets, it means we ought to be together more. We ought to desire to be together more. We need to be together more. So the first reason of the four that I'm going to talk to you about, that we've got to have this commitment to community if we're going to grow up, is the fact that community is not just showing up at the same place. Of course, again, you know that and I know that. It's not just 1914? East 52nd Street? Savannah, Georgia? Okay, 303. Anyway, I always forget the zip. I can't remember Savannah zips. But it's not just showing up here. We know that. Let's look at another passage. This is Romans 12. Says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's kind of hard to do that when you're not around each other, isn't it? Can you personally demonstrate your devotion to someone if you're never with them? Never around them? It's hard. Not impossible, but it is not the same. So let's talk about the fact that it's not showing up at the same place for a minute or two. You know, the reality is we can come together. We can all be in the same place. We can be in this building here at 1914 East 52nd Street, Savannah, Georgia. And it is possible that we still don't act like church. Here's a challenge. Again, I'm preaching to the choir. We need to make sure that when there's people that we don't know, that we acknowledge people. There is no reason why anybody should stand in this room when we gather and not have somebody talk to them. Now, if they don't want to be talked to, it's fine. You and I can read that, right? If somebody just doesn't want that, we can respect that. But we have got to be the ones who genuinely care and love and try to communicate that. You with me on that? We generally do that pretty good, but we always have to be vigilant about that. And if whenever we get up and we do our cattle drive, and after the music, okay, and after the and we're moving around the stalls and everything, we're doing all that stuff. You get the idea? We have to make sure that everybody gets touched. Okay? Everybody needs to get touched. Very important. Because we can all be in the same place and we still don't act like church. There's nothing worse than seeing everybody else get loved on and you feel like you're not loved on. We can't afford that. We can't. Because I don't believe that's in our hearts. But we have to be the ones who are vigilant, because we are the ones who have eternal life given to us. We're the ones who bear the hope. We've got to be the ones who keep our eyes open. The problem is this building and having places to go to gather together can be a blessing and it can be a curse. It's a blessing because we have a place to meet that we're responsible for. In fact, it's great, whenever we exercise our responsibility and our ownership over the place, take care of it well, do what it takes for it to be usable. All that's good. That's fine. But it's not community. The place that we meet is not community. And just showing up at the place is not community. Being the people of God, being family to one another, that is community. Whether that's in a life group or whether it's here on a Sunday morning. Either way. Think for just a second. How many believers that you know all around town, other places, that seemed to demonstrate more interest or invest more in the place than they do the people? Keeping up with the building. Making sure the lights are on in the building. Talking about who takes what care of what in the building. Okay? There's a lot of people who are concerned about the building. And again, it's just a vehicle. It's not the community. Community is the people. Community is us. It's kind of hard to encourage a building to outbursts of love and good deeds. Last time I checked. So, we expect people to love us and to meet our needs, rather than thinking of ways many times to encourage one another to greater outbursts of love and good deeds. When we come together, what are we here doing? Are we here to hear the songs we want to hear? Are we here expecting me or Dusty or Dane to be talking on the stuff that we want to know about? What is it that motivates you? We all come with needs. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to tell you honestly, when you come here with needs, if this is, and I believe this is, you're here where God wants you to be. If you're here listening and I'm here listening, it doesn't matter what we're singing and it doesn't matter what Dusty's saying or I'm saying. He's going to be speaking to us, and we can hear. Now, it may just be that today this is what you need to hear. If so, amen, awesome, great. But there have been a lot of times where I'm sitting where you're sitting, God is wearing me out about something entirely different. And if I'm listening, that's fine. That's where we've got to be. But we're here to love one another and encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. That's not about me hearing what I need to hear today. That's about me looking at you and saying, am I listening enough to Pat to know what she needs me to encourage her about? Say, thank you. Great job. Good. You know, I know about this. You think maybe you could help out with this? Are we doing that? Are we connecting the dots with one another so that our web of influence grows and gets stronger because we're encouraging one another to love and good deeds? We're not worried about what happened today or we screwed up today. Because y'all don't know how much I really screw up whenever I teach. You have no idea what I've got on that little piece of paper unless I give it to you. And then, and even then, does that mean that I messed up? You don't know. I don't know. You see where I'm going with this? We are here for each other. And we need to make sure that we champion that because that's being the body. It's not just being in the same place and existing for a time in the same place. Whether it's here on Sunday or whether it's in our life groups, which we cannot just gloss over. That is an essential part of who we are. And it's not just that. It's also making connections and sharing life in all the other places that we share life. That is just as much body life as when we gather on Sunday morning, as when we meet in the life group. It really is. Regina and I the other day, about a week ago, we're in Big Lots, walking around. And out of nowhere is this guy that I know in Savannah, who I coached in Atlanta in 1987 and 88. He was one of my wrestlers. Now, I know that he lives in Savannah, and Scott wouldn't mind me using his name, but he was once the rowing, came to SCAD, went to SCAD, became the rowing coach at SCAD, and then they got rid of the program, and his life was turned upside down. And now he's got so many other things in his life. But anytime I see Scott, I love Scott. And he knows that I love him. And it's like doing church when I see Scott. And Scott would tell you the same thing. It's as close as he's ever going to get to church at this point in his life. But it's a holy thing. And it's not because we got all the I's dotted and T's crossed and just right, okay? But because he's open to me. I don't know why, but he trusts me. And that's how we got to be with one another. We've got to be able to be honest and open and trust and vulnerable and do those things in each other's lives so that we can encourage one another to love when we don't want to love. We would encourage one another to forgive when we don't want to forgive. We encourage one another to do things when we don't want to do things. That's who we're supposed to be. It's not just showing up. John, next passage, please. In Acts 2, we see the second reason why we've got to be committed to community, and that is community is sharing life. It's the real deal. It's the real deal. It's the real thing. And we look in Acts chapter 2, after Peter's great speech, his great sermon preached, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. That's sharing life. The second part of that, it says, they sold their possessions and they shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. These folks shared life. Now, okay, look, I'm going to be honest. I don't know how much bigger or smaller Jerusalem was than Savannah, Georgia. I have no idea. And I know their lives intersected in a more personal way because they didn't have everything that we have to distance themselves from one another like we do. There was no alarm system in Jerusalem at that time. Or in Nazareth, or wherever these guys hung out, Capernaum. They were in each other's homes. They hung out. They worked together. They said, you made that for me really good today. I really appreciate your time doing that. And then they would say, you know, come over, let's do dinner tonight. And they would do that all the time because their lives were just meshed that way. They met in the temple, met in homes. If that isn't impressive, they did it with joy. You know, sometimes if somebody's coming to my house, I'll be honest with you, when I'm cleaning the house, joy is not one of the first things on my mind. They even shared their wealth. Okay, let's go to the next degree. Back to Romans chapter 12. Paul wrote to the Romans, love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I believe that happens when we are together. Whenever we make ourselves go beyond just being in the same place. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's sounding a whole lot like Acts chapter 2, isn't it? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And folks, none of this happens when we try to live life on an island. It's about sharing life. It's about being committed to community, to one another. How much room do you leave for other people? We're really struggling with this in our house because we run pillar to post most of the time. And in the past, and I think to some degree now, we try to do it with people that were around, but the reality is it's a struggle for everybody. Leaving room for people to interrupt your life. Because a lot of times, that's God working. Tough for me because I'm really kind of a task-oriented guy most of the time. And if I'm involved in a task, it's hard for me to stop and attend to the person. But there are other distractions for everybody. That's just mine. But some of that has to do with my intellectual capacity to only focus on one thing at a time. If I can't focus, I can't get anything done. You all don't know sometimes when I'm sitting there doing those devotionals how I'm sitting there in front of that computer staring and listening. And how there have been times where I'm staring at the computer and I go, I just got to go outside. Because sometimes in front of that computer I can't hear anything. But I go outside and I look at the clouds or I look at the stars and I start hearing. Do you relegate God to specific time segments in your life, in your schedule? Or do you invite Him to interrupt your plans with His? See, I think that's part of what community is about. That we have to learn how to let the family that we have interrupt us and realize that God is very well could be speaking to us through them. And that's a challenge. But we've got to share life to find that happening. So the question is, are we more devoted to the me or the we? Because when we come together here, it's not about, did Rick say this really cool thing today? Or did Dusty preach this dynamic message? It's a matter of, did we do what God called us to be together to do? Encourage love one and love one to love and good deeds. That's what we're here for. To worship our Father, hang out with Him, let Him speak to us. But it is not about us getting what we want. Sometimes even what we need. Although He knows we need it. Third reason. Next, John, thank you. In John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus did not share this command because it was going to be easy. And the third reason that you ought to commit to community and I ought to commit to community is because it isn't easy. Because what we find is that when we deal with the stuff that's not easy, we grow up. We mature. We learn to go on. We learn to trust God. Same thing in your families. You've had kids. You know, and you're like me, you say, guys, you know, we're grumpy with one another. We say, you know, we have to deal with the way we feel. We have to deal with our emotions. It's a hothouse. It's a greenhouse where we get to learn how to be related to people. And that's where we are here too. It's not easy. It takes investment. It takes inconvenience. Sometimes it takes a thick skin, but it always takes willingness and work. You have to be committed or we'll opt out thinking that it's an option. Like I was talking about earlier. Somebody said something, somebody did something, and instead of dealing with it or growing up, being mature or forgiving or whatever we have to do, instead we say, nope, I'm just going to unhook from this train. And at first, that unhook from this train, they might go hook to another train. The only problem is they're going to find imperfect people there too. And then they end up unhooking from that train. And you know what happens after about the second or third train? Is, I'm done. Community's not easy. But Jesus said that you and I are supposed to love each other as He loved us. And when we do that, other people will want in on the deal. Just because, married folk, people who've been married, you kind of know what I'm talking about here. Just because you're married and you're committed to living together until death do you part, does that mean that it's always easy? No. When you add the dimension that we are to love one another just as Jesus loved us, well, then the challenge, it gets even greater, doesn't it? Love's not easy, neither is community. How do I know that? John, next. These are all the one another statements in the New Testament. Okay? Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Greet one another. Agree with one another. Serve one another. Bear each other's burdens. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Bear and forgive one another's sins. Teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Spur on to love and good deeds one another. Do not slander one another. Love deeply one another. Offer hospitality to one another. Express humility to one another. It isn't easy. You can go on to overload if you're trying to remember all those one another's all the time. Oh, I don't want to forget one of them. And then in James it says, when we take the time to pray for one another and we forgive one another, what does it do? It helps to cover a multitude of sins. See, it's not easy. The whole idea of sharing life, the whole idea of really being the body of Christ, the whole idea of being committed to community is that we learn how to deal with the rough edges that we all have. And to love anyway, because that's what Jesus did. That's how we grow up. We don't grow up when we choose to be bitter, or we choose to hold grudges, or we choose not to forgive, or we choose to take our toys somewhere else. We don't grow up. And Regina would probably tell me, what happens is we get kind of stuck in that place, in that stage. And yes, we do repeat. We find ourselves in the same ruts over and over again relationally when we don't grow up and do the things that will take us to maturity. But it can't happen when we are not together. Does that make sense? Okay, fourth reason is that community is not optional. I've told you this already, but here's the proof. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. Paul wrote to the Ephesians church here. He said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." Does that say maybe this will happen? Does it say only in good places when the people of God gather, this is what happens? No, it's saying that's it. This is it, folks. This is what you were saved to do. This is what you are changed to do. This is what you are empowered to do. This is who you are. This is who I am. Us together. It's not a maybe. There is no plan B. There's not a better way somewhere out there, and you and I can't come up with a better way either. He's made us who we are to be in community with one another. And that's the way that Jesus Christ gets glorified, and that's where you and I will find our joy, even in the middle of sometimes having to struggle and wrestle and deal with all that we are in our imperfections. So, what do we do to communicate, and what do we do to really live a commitment to community? Are we going to allow people and allow ourselves to focus on the me, or are we going to remind people it's about the we? Because that's what the commitment to community is all about. Encouraging one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And sometimes in order to do that, I have to forgive you and you have to forgive me. And sometimes in order to do that, you have to say, Rick, why did you do that? I don't understand. It doesn't seem to be consistent with what you've said you believe about Jesus. And if that's the truth, you need to be able to say that. Now, we always need to have those conversations in love and with love and with understanding, trying to listen. Because I certainly don't have, I am not 100% right in knowing all of your intentions or motives. Sorry. That's not something God gave me. But I can care and I can ask. And you can care and you can ask. All right. I've said everything I need to say that I feel like God's told me to say. Do you have things that you need to say? It's a hard thing to be committed to the kingdom beyond our culture. Because we are so immersed in how we grew up, how we live, and there's times where we have to really intentionally peel away those things that are culture to see what is really kingdom. We all have to do that because we all have the warm, fuzzy place where we were most nurtured and loved in our spiritual lives, and we associate the kingdom with that. And sometimes that's right, and sometimes it's not. But we all are a part of that process for one another. We are here to advance the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And what the world sees in us is how they see the kingdom. Now, we're imperfect. I understand that. And the kingdom's going to come. But it's partially here already, too. The kingdom's here. And you just, whenever people start to see God doing amazing things in imperfect people, guess what? It's God that gets the glory. It's not the people. But the people get to experience it. But that's why we need one another, because we need somebody that we've authorized in our lives to say, can you look in the mirror this morning? I love you. Can you look in the mirror this morning? Absolutely. I mean, that's true. That's true. We've got to be praying. That all these things are so important. To be in a continuous dialogue with God, to have a desire to cooperate with God in creating a Christ-like character in us. And then part of that is that we do not check out on the community He called us to be a part of, that He made us to be a part of, and that we understand it's about us representing and being the kingdom in the world. It's not about me. And I don't come here. I don't gather. I don't gather with people because it's about me. I gather with people because I have the opportunity to encourage every one of you to love, outbursts of love and good deeds. And that represents the kingdom of God and the world just fine. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you give us and that you have changed our hearts, you've changed our lives, you have changed our trajectory in this life and in eternity. And Lord, I ask that you will help us to love your people as much as you do. And that you, Lord, would help us to grow up and look like Jesus in every way possible. Jesus Christ died to create the church. Lord, let us not fall into any mindset that does anything but hold the people you've called us to share life with in high regard. And to do the tough things like love and forgive and encourage and challenge. Thank you that you allow us to share this part of life right here, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.